Christmas is a dream. The children are nestled all snug in their beds while visions of sugar plums dance through their heads. I'm dreaming of a white Christmas. And if a view of the distant mountains counts, we might even get one tomorrow. Dreams feature prominently throughout the Christmas story, according to the Gospels. Matthew tells us that Joseph was planning to leave Mary because she was pregnant with another man's child, or so he thought. Imagine what Joseph's decision would have meant for Mary in a patriarchal society where women had no options for livelihood outside of the support of a husband. And no man would marry a woman who was already the mother of another man's child. Imagine what an abandoned Mary would have meant for her and for the life of her son. If not for a dream, the Christmas story might have ended right there before it began. Joseph falls asleep. He dreams of an angel. The angel tells Joseph that Mary's child is conceived of the Holy Spirit and that Mary deserves his faithfulness. The dream angel tells Joseph the baby will be a boy. And it's even from the angel in his dream that Joseph receives the name he's supposed to give the baby, Jesus. Joseph wakes from his dream, and Matthew says, he did what the angel of the Lord commanded him. After Jesus is born, Magi come to pay their respects at the stable in Bethlehem. We remember the story of the Magi as three wise men or three kings following a star, but there's a dream in this story too. The star leads the Magi to Judea, but first they stop at the palace of King Herod in Jerusalem. And in asking Herod for information, Herod learns that a king of the Jews had been born, a threat Herod fears to his own crown. So Herod plots to let the Magi find the baby, and once the child has been identified, Herod will have the baby killed. We're a long way from sugar plums now. The star goes before the Magi, leading them to Bethlehem and the stable. They bow to the baby. They give him their gifts. And then, having been warned in a dream not to go back to Herod, they returned to their country by another route. A dream, again, saves the Christmas story. Who had this dream? We aren't actually told. Did all three Magi have the same dream? Or did only one of them have the dream and he told the others? Was it an angel in the dream that gave them the news? Was it the same angel that spoke to Joseph? We aren't told. The story of the Magi continues in the next Bible verse. And again, in this part of the story, there are important dreams. This is the scene that's called the flight into Egypt. And it's not usually included as part of the Christmas story, but it immediately follows the birth at the stable. And it's the conclusion of the story of the three Magi. Here is the story as told in Matthew. When they had gone, an angel of the Lord appeared to Joseph in a dream. "Get up," he said, "take the child and his mother and escape to Egypt. Stay there until I tell you, for Herod is going to search for the child to kill him." So he got up, took the child and his mother during the night, and left for Egypt, where he stayed until the death of Herod. And so was fulfilled what the Lord had said through the prophet, "Out of Egypt I called my son." When Herod realized that he had been outwitted by the Magi, he was furious. And he gave orders to kill all the boys in Bethlehem and its vicinity who were 2 years old and under, in accordance with the time he had learned from the Magi. Then what was said through the prophet Jeremiah was fulfilled. "A voice is heard in Ramah, weeping and great mourning, Rachel weeping for her children and refusing to be comforted because they are no more." This story ends with two more dreams. Here it is. After Herod died, an angel of the Lord appeared in a dream to Joseph in Egypt and said, "Get up, take the child and his mother and go back to the land of Israel, for those who were trying to take the child's life are dead." So he got up, took the child and his mother and went to the land of Israel. But when he heard that Archelaus was reigning in Judea in place of his father, Herod, he was afraid to go there. Having been warned in a dream, he withdrew to the district of Galilee, and he went and lived in a town called Nazareth. So was fulfilled what was said through the prophets, that he would be called a Nazarene. Dream after dream after dream. Dreams of warning, dreams of instruction. This Joseph is a dreamer, just as the Joseph of the Old Testament was distinguished as a dreamer. Dreams steering the characters of the story so that one by one, all of the conflicting prophecies about the Messiah could be called true. He's a Nazarene. No, he's born in the city of David, Bethlehem. No, he comes out of Egypt. He's raised by a human father, but he's really born of a virgin, the child of the Holy Spirit. To those with a skeptical mind, it seems like a lot of special pleading. The manipulations of the plot seem all too conveniently arranged, just so the gospel writer can claim a prophecy true after the fact. For Unitarian Universalists, who don't need Jesus to be God or ancient prophecy to be fulfilled, it's all a little too much. We don't need tortured explanations of dream angels in order for us to revere a great man who inaugurated a revolution of love and justice on behalf of the least of society. It is Jesus, the man, the teacher, the principled leader of an ethical movement whom we honor on his birthday. And yet there is something in dreams that may inspire us this evening or later tonight when we go to our beds to dream our own dreams. There are two ways that we speak of dreams and dreaming. One sense of dreams are those fantasy pictures that play in our minds while we sleep, sugar plums, perhaps, or angels. Some say these kinds of dreams contain useful messages from our unconsciousness, information that we may need to know, warnings, perhaps, or advice, perhaps a communication from a part of our mind that we are too distracted to hear during our waking hours. But in the quiet of a dream, we become aware of a kind of truth that we might otherwise miss. Maybe like Joseph, we hear a message that a friend we thought had betrayed us is actually faithful to us and deserves our continued friendship and support. Or maybe our dream is telling us that now is the time to make that big change in life that we've been putting off, to start that journey, to choose a different route, to make that move. Sometimes our deeper minds have knowledge that our busy, anxious minds can't grasp, and dreams put that knowledge into our reach. Perhaps one message then from the Christmas story is a reminder to all of us to slow down, to breathe deeply, to listen to those quiet thoughts that may have wisdom for us, that may be guiding us to lives of peace, of joy, of security. And the other sense of dreams and dreaming is also present in the Christmas story. Dreams are another name for our hopes and our greatest wishes for the future. Dreams as visions, dreams as goals, dreams as guiding lights that draw us toward a future of possibilities. On these dark nights of winter, we can lose our connection to those kinds of dreams. They seem distant, impossible to reach, maybe forgotten. perhaps a second message then from the Christmas story is an encouragement to dream our dreams again. A dream, perhaps, of something like a kingdom of God, where instead of a human ruler, the divine values of love and peace and justice sit on the throne, where those who have been considered the least among us are raised to the highest position, where the formerly last are put first, where those who mourn are comforted, where those who hunger and thirst for righteousness are filled, where the merciful are shown mercy, where the pure in heart will see God, the peacemakers will be called children of God, where the poor in spirit will be given the kingdom of heaven, and the meek shall inherit the earth. A pleasant dream. A Christmas dream. It begins with a dream, and thus it begins with a restful sleep, a quiet night, a silent night, Ma in her kerchief and I in my cap. While mortals sleep, the angels keep their watch of wondering love. Let Christmas come, its great star glow on quiet city, parks of snow. Let Christmas come, its table gleam, love born again, the truth of dream. Please find in your hymnal number 161. We'll sing together, Peace, the Perfect Word. Again, stay seated for this one. Number 161. Please pray with me. God of our hearts, voice of my conscience, highest and best self that I can conceive, spirit of life and love and justice that flows through all creation. Be with us this evening as we worship, and be with us tonight as we lay down to sleep. Fill our restful minds with dreams of peace, dreams of joy, dreams of brighter days for ourselves and for all others. Give us dreams that show us the way, that inspire our spirits and strengthen our bodies and fix our wills as on a distant star. Show to us dreams of a new year where cruelty, falsehoods, and selfishness have been left behind. Dreams of a new world where love is the highest power. Bind us again to ancient dreams of peace on earth, goodwill to all, justice for the oppressed, a planet made whole and healthy. May our dreams begun this Christmas evening be with us through this long night and carry us to a Christmas morning where our dreams become incarnate in our lives. Amen.